Let's stay with regulation and the effectiveness of products on the market, because there's growing disquiet that the multi-billion dollar complementary medicines market, especially weight loss products, may be out of control, especially when it comes to us consumers being sure these products work. Joe Werner has the story.
But there is a clinically trialled weight loss spray you have not encountered.
Dr. Matthew Capehorn is the clinical director of the UK's National Obesity Forum.
And with me today is living proof, two sets of identical twins, Sarah and Ashley.
An oral TGA-approved liquid spray which claims to be the most effective slimming solution available anywhere in the world.
It does this by altering our taste, and then chemical messages are sent back to our brain telling us that we no longer want to eat
someone
as much.
Someone who is reputedly one of the world's leading
it
experts.
It showed an average 15 kilogram weight loss over the 12-month period.
The claims an 87.2%...
Sound too good to be true? What you just heard is a series of claims made about SensaSlim solution, a natural dietary aid sold as an intraoral spray. The claims were made in advertisements on Channel 7's Today Tonight program and Channel 10's The Circle, and they formed the basis of a complaint lodged with the Therapeutic Goods Administration, or TGA, by Dr. Ken Harvey, a public health physician and advocate for medicines policy and ethical promotion from La Trobe University. Since making the complaint, Dr. Harvey has been sued by the manufacturer of the product, SensaSlim Australia Proprietary Limited. In April this year, the company launched a defamation case against Dr. Harvey. The defamatory imputations concern details of the complaint Dr. Harvey lodged with the TGA, and a report of the complaint that was published on the website ozpharmacist.net.au, a report that Dr. Harvey alleges he didn't even write. The report has subsequently been removed from the website. But because of a therapeutic goods regulation imposed by the federal government, the TGA has had to stop all investigation of Dr. Harvey's complaint against SensaSlim Australia until the court proceedings have been finalised. There's a link on the Health Report website to the regulation in question that goes by the catchy title 42ZCAJ, or Panel Not to Deal with Complaint if Court Proceedings Begun. Ken Harvey wasn't willing to talk about the particulars of the defamation case SensaSlim Australia launched against him in April, but he was willing to talk in general terms about the problems with this regulation. Ken Harvey.
Some sponsors have actually sued people who have put in complaints with what we call slap writs, strategic litigation against public participation. This can be litigation which asks, for example, a stay of a report into these problems or into complaints on the grounds that this information is alleged to be defamatory. In practice, what happens is that that stops the complaint resolution panel from hearing complaints, because there is an obscure therapeutic goods regulation which says that if, after a complaint's been made to a panel, a proceeding begins in a court about the subject matter of the complaint, the panel cannot deal with a complaint until the proceeding is finally disposed of. Now, that provides a lovely incentive to a sponsor that is being complained about to initiate a legal action which then stops the complaint, lets them continue to market, and away they go. And, of course, they can drag out a court complaint. Can be very expensive for a complainant, and often the complainants roll over because they can't afford to continue the litigation. It's a very fraught area, and it's not surprising that there aren't many complaints.
There's a growing concern that the complementary medicines industry is out of control, and yet the Australian public are largely oblivious to what's going on. Case in point, a recent survey by the National Prescribing Service reports that one in two Australian consumers believe that complementary medicines are tested by an independent third party or a regulator, which is simply not the case. As Carol Bennett, CEO of the Consumer Health Forum, explains, it's a lucrative industry, but not one without problems.
70% of Australians at some stage purchase complementary medicines. So clearly people are spending billions of dollars on these products, and consumers who are spending that kind of money have a right to know whether or not these products are actually effective. There is a responsibility for the TGA to require these manufacturers to label their products. We find it quite ironic that the TGA tell the public that the label should tell you what you're buying and what it can do for you and how to use it to get the best results, but yet we don't tell people that these products are actually not tested for efficacy, and that's exactly what the Australian public should expect when they're spending billions of dollars on these products.
So, If a company that wants to sell a complementary medicine isn't required to demonstrate that the product actually works, what do they have to do to get a product listed on the Australian Register of Therapeutic Goods? Ken Harvey.
They've got to show that they are producing them in terms of good manufacturing practice standards. Secondly, they've got to choose their ingredients from what is a relatively limited list held by the Therapeutic Goods Administration of ingredients they regard as relatively safe. Some sponsors regard this as a bit of a game, so that if the ingredients, for example, in their product don't happen to be on the list of a TGA, you can happily tick whatever you find on a drop-down list that you think is similar, and the product will get up. And indeed, recent audits from the TGA have found up to 90% of violations when they actually sit down and get a human being to look at what's been put into the automated system. Because the advantages from the manufacturer's or sponsor's point of view is it's very easy to get these products to market. The sponsor is meant to tick a box to say they hold evidence that the products work. When one checks up and looks at the scientific evidence, it's often very lacking for the claims that are made. The TGA do a limited amount of post-marketing surveillance in which they randomly look at products that have been listed. Those are the ones that they've been finding up to 90% violations. The only other constraint is people who put in complaints about complementary medicines. That system's got problems also.
Who are these complaints made to?
The body that actually polices this is called the Complaint Resolution Panel. I don't think many people have ever had too many problems with the determinations of the panel. It's a good process. It's independent. The problem is the panel is overloaded. The average time from a complaint to getting a determination is round about 5 months. The other crucial problem is that the Complaint Resolution Panel has no power to enforce its determinations. If the sponsor decides that they don't want to have anything to do with it, then the Complaint Resolution Body has no power to impose fines, to enforce its sanctions. All it can do is pass this on to the Therapeutic Goods Administration. When non-compliance is sent to the TGA, there is no public record of what, if anything, happens. The TGA is totally non-transparent, and one suspects that, in fact, the TGA doesn't do much or hasn't got the power to do what it should be doing.
So who's to blame for this non-compliance, then? Where does the problem lie?
Well, I think it does go back to when the regulatory system was set up. At that time, I think the TGA's concern was primarily just to ensure the safety of the public from poisoning and nasty medicines. And so the TGA's concept of safety is that only if it causes physical harm to the patient, something needs to be done. Hence, they came up with this list of ingredients that they felt were relatively safe. The problem is that setting up that system, which has very easy market entry, which makes it very easy to game the system and actually put information in which is non-compliant, means that it has encouraged a flood of sponsors and a flood of products onto the market. So clearly this has created a huge market opportunity for the sponsors of complementary medicines. What we've seen is a race to the bottom, with claims getting more and more outrageous and even responsible manufacturers starting to produce products and making claims that are less responsible, because if they don't, others are, and others will make money and they won't.
So what's the government doing about this problem? They've had a number of reviews over the years that have suggested that the system isn't working and that it needs to be changed. Why hasn't anything happened there?
It was 2002, I think, there was the first recommendations that we needed a complaint system that had teeth and that would work, and that sponsors that repeatedly violated the system should have products thrown off. That was repeated in 2003, and it's been repeated at sort of regular intervals along the way. Why hasn't anything happened? Well, clearly, I think there's two reasons. Firstly, the complementary medicine industry is very reluctant to have anything have to happen because they're making good money doing what they're doing. And the second problem, I think, is the Therapeutic Goods Administration. It's a risk-based organisation. It can only put its limited resources where it thinks the big problems are. And it would regard ripping off consumers as less of a problem than, for example, some prescription medicines which have really nasty side effects which can kill you. However, not concentrating at all on the problem of complementary medicines has let the problem blow out. I might say there's one other problem people have perceived, and that is that the TGA is 100% funded now by industry fees. And again, some people have unkindly suggested that if you've got an organisation 100% funded by industry, that it may be more reluctant to take measures that would impact on industry profitability and indeed the TGA's own finances.
In all of these instances, TGA regulation is skewed in favour of industry over consumers. It seems that the TGA's default position is to regard industry as its client. The Health Report has learned that there are currently a number of initiatives underway aimed at reforming TGA regulation of the complementary medicines industry. Regulatory reform is a good and necessary step, but the regulation that stipulates panel not to deal with complaint if court proceedings begun is still the problem. Unless the federal government change regulation 42Z-CAJ, we'll continue to have instances where consumers who formally voice concerns about product efficacy will have lawsuits brought against them by such companies. The Health Report requested an interview with the Parliamentary Secretary for Health and Ageing, Catherine King, but she declined to be interviewed. We then approached Minister for Health and Ageing, Nicola Roxon, who also declined to be interviewed, but did put pressure on Catherine King's office to respond to us. The Parliamentary Secretary again declined to be interviewed, but did provide us with a statement acknowledging that the government is aware there is a problem and claims they're taking steps to address the issues. A story Ken Harvey says he's heard many times before.
There are a number of ongoing government inquiries that are looking at this. The irony of it is that there's been an equal number in the past and nothing has happened. The challenge, certainly for the government and the parliamentary secretary, is actually to do something, and it will be interesting to see whether anything happens.
Dr. Ken Harvey ending that report by Joel Werner. We hope to have the Therapeutic Goods Administration on the Health Report next week to follow this up.